Hello, everyone. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode 591, and all the dynamics on this one are going to be different because I'm not in my car. I am in a motel room in Clovis, New Mexico, and I just happen to be looking through old emails and things like that, and I came upon a letter that I got, well, an email, it's not really a letter, but that I got from this fellow named Tom, who's on the autism list, and if Tom's wanting to get mentioned on a podcast, here it is. It was, it's really neat to be written up. You know, you throw your email address out there, or at least an email address that gets to you, and of course nobody really responds. You know, I guess my podcast doesn't inspire a great desire to talk back. I have to apologize for my nose and snuffly, and I'm still getting over a flu bug that's just ravaged at least our part of the country. It may have ravaged everywhere, but yeah, everybody's at least either had it or in the process of having it. I'm hoping I'm on the back side of it. But anyway, so Tom wrote this really wonderful little write-up email, sent it to me, and it was very complimentary and very nice. And that actually brings up what I kind of have for a topic for this episode is gratitude for nice people. If you've been following the podcast at all, if you've gone back and listened to some of the earlier stuff, you'll know that there is, just at the very, very beginning, it was kind of the prelude to the podcast was, taking my kids in for an evaluation. And, you know, at first, when we got back all the details, it was mostly just a bunch of restating what we already knew and not really diagnosing them as anything in particular. I think both Lisa and I, Lisa, my wife, came back just saying, well, you know, they aren't going to diagnose anybody as anything unless it's really a debilitating thing. So, you know, they gave them something much smaller. We spent a little bit of time looking at the connection between autism and ADHD. There's some people. There's a little bit of looking at that and seeing if there's some connections there. And I guess there might be. Honestly, when it comes right down to it, you know, this is just life for me, for us, for my family. So, you know, whether it has a name or whatever, you know, it's simply life. And it's the life of my family and I and my wife putting up with it, and she's a trooper, and I'm really grateful. She's one of those nice people that I'm grateful for. On occasion, I've told her that any time she wanted to just run, that I wouldn't feel badly about her doing that. Well, I'd be sad, but I'd hope to be understanding, because, you know, putting up with a bunch of strange people is tough. Even if they're your children, you know, it's really obvious that most of the strangeness comes from me, So, you know, if she wanted to run off and, you know, leave all the weird people together and go off and find some normal people, you know, can you blame her? I mean, you know, it's incredibly noble and wonderful, and I am very grateful for the fact that she doesn't choose to do that. But if she needs time away, I'm perfectly willing to give her time away. And then she can come back when she feels like she can deal with it or whatever. And she hasn't ever done that, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Anyway, so there's two kind people that I can talk about. Tom and, of course, my wife, Lisa. And I find that I'm surrounded by nice people who either look past my obvious weirdness or maybe not looking past it, but just saying, you know what, it's okay. I often describe myself as a living computer. Not that I have good memory. I think I have more in common with one of those old Tandy pocket computers. Little bitty things, you know? Small. I like small little portable thingies. That makes my heart sick. But, you know, not a whole lot of memory. But you can do some stuff with them. Not a ton. And, but I'm grateful for people who don't give me a lot of garbage for that. Because they could. They could say, geez, Jay, you know, you seem intelligent enough and yada, yada, yada. You know, why can't you handle these circumstances? I can think of something. Oh, no. Let's not get into the latest thing. If you go back to my rant about the LDS Church and scouting, maybe I cut that one off and I didn't really ever put it in. That might have been good. It's in the quasi-indefatigable Zenlist recordings, which are difficult to find for a reason. So that you really have to dig hard to get at those recordings, because some of them are very inflammatory, and I put them off in a corner because I don't want most people to ever hear about them. Some more nice, you know, almost everybody I work with, and I am kind of a remote technical support person type of guy. The other people in my group and my quote-unquote coworkers, and I don't want to say that because they're not my coworkers, they are, but most of them live far away from me, you know, 200-300 miles away from where I am is where any of my coworkers are, and it seems to work okay for me, you know. Now, I hope it doesn't offend them, you know. This is my dream circumstance. I don't know if it's my dream job, but it's my dream circumstance, you know. Kind of off on my own. I'm kind of a lone wolf sort of people. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. This isn't really supposed to be about me. It's supposed to be about those wonderful people who are so kind to those who obviously are strange, different, weird. I'm grateful for that. That brings to mind something, though. I seem to recall reading, it's been a while back, about autism and women or girls. And the fact that girls are quite a bit more accommodating of differences than boys tend to be. And so, and in thinking back, I had, I think, better what passes for friendships with, you know, twisted Zenith, autistic ADHD type people. I had more relations with girls than I had with guys. Because I think girls, I don't know if it's a Florence Nightingale thing, you know, where they see that you're needy, and that kind of tugs at their heartstrings, and it makes them want to help you, you know. And I, maybe that's what I ended up being, was several girls' projects when I was younger. Maybe I still am. I don't know. But it makes me think about that, because I guess somebody had explored that a little bit. There's all kinds of things associated with autism that have been explored a little. Not too deep, but there's just so much, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so I was thinking about that, because a lot of people that I've had the best relationships with have been women. When I ultimately went to college, I went into what would traditionally be considered a woman's field, home economics. You know, it was in child development. I worked in child care centers, and these are predominantly run by and staffed by females. I was a rather rare male in that field. I think I still am. Although, boy, back when I was studying it, which was in the late 80s and the early 90s, and when I was active in it, I really am quite different and odd. Still am, but, you know. Anyway. Can I think of some other nice people besides Tom, who had the, I'll just call it guts, I guess, the guts to actually say some nice things about the podcast, which I appreciate, you know. Hey, Tom! Here you are. You're being mentioned again. Because it's nice. It's nice to get a little feedback, and it was certainly positive and encouraging, and you know. I don't want to disappoint. If there's only one person that's really listening to my podcast, I don't want to disappoint him by not putting up a episode every now and then. I've actually been doing more recordings on Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. It's not a podcast, it's just a group of recordings. You have to use a Gopher client to get to it. Fortunately, a very good Gopher client is called the Firefox web browser. It actually has a pretty decent Gopher client in it. And you can go to Gopher, just go to Quix, Quix.us, and there's a little signpost page there, and it'll talk about going to Quix and Gopher space. And if you use Firefox and you click on that, on those links, and you get a little deep enough to the audio section, you'll see not only a manifestation of these recordings, but also Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith, of which there are years of hundreds of recordings all over the place, and on subjects far more ranging than what I usually do here. I think I'm in a good circumstance. I think I'm in a good job. I'm with nice people who are very accommodating of me and how I can be sometimes. You know, and hopefully I try to be helpful and I don't try to get too mean and nasty or I don't really get mean, I think. I think I get impatient because I know things about computers, and one would just suppose that other people would too, you know, and they don't, of course. And, you know, it ends up almost being kind of small potatoes for me. Not that it's not important things, you know, people need to have their computers running, but I guess I've got more capability than that, and someday I hope to kind of stand up to my capabilities, and I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to pull that off, because honestly, I'll tell you about one of my biggest struggles. Like with computers, for instance. When I first got into computers, and I did programming, I did some small programming, and it was mostly because I couldn't afford the software to do the things I wanted to do. Mostly I wanted to write, so I needed to come up with a word processor. And so I don't think I ever got beyond doing just really simple text editors for computers that nobody needs, because I got up to the point to where I had a CPM computer. For those of you who know about computers, that was the predominant one before 1985, for instance. Between 1976 and 1985. Was the heyday of an operating system called CPM, and I had a CPM computer, and I also had WordStar, which was the kind of the most popular word processor at the time. So once I had all these things that I really required, I didn't need to program anymore, and I didn't, because I didn't see any need to do it. I wrote a few little programs, but not anything really sizable at all. I was impressed that one of my programs is actually still being used by somebody after probably 25 years. And that was an amazing thing, but, you know, it's not that fantastic as you might make it out to be. Anyway. And you know, I fart around on the internet. I look at kind of esoteric programming languages and stuff like that and poke around at them a little bit. But what I ultimately come to anytime I look at anything like that is I say, well, what would I do with it, you know? I'd like to learn the language, but to learn the language, you need to program something in it. And I've just never found anything that inspired me enough to want to program it. You know, write a program to do a certain function. I'm a very utilitarian type of person. So, you know, it ended up being some sort of a utility, but I don't want to reinvent the wheel, and all of my needs have already been worked out. Everything that I ever would want to do on a computer, it's simple and easy and now free with stuff like Linux and the open source software movement. Everything I could possibly want is there and available and easy to use and doesn't require, and I don't feel a pressing need to pull together a programming language and build something. Everything I want is there. It's already there, and I guess that's kind of a frustration. I know a lot of people say, well, just write your own version of something. Write your own text editor. Write your own this or that. And it's like, well, why? I already have stuff that fills my needs, that takes care of what I need to do. What more do I need? So that's a weird sort of frustrating thing. And I think it's something that my boss would probably not mind me doing, is doing a little light programming, as long as I'm not, you know, stealing somebody's job or something. I don't know. But, you know, to, to do something like that, but I just haven't figured out what to do yet. Everything, I struggle, and I need to take some advice that many programmers end up finally taking, especially if they're going to do open source, which kind of seems to me, I'm more of a public domain guy, but that's okay. Open source has most of the attributes that I'm after in life. If it comes to something I make, and I'm just, you know, I'm not thinking I'm ever interested in making money off of it. But that kind of programmer ethic is you write something that you like, and then, you know, if it gets popular, well, that's nice. You must have tastes that are compatible with the kind of things that other people have. Oh, pardon me. It's 12:10 in the morning. It's now morning. That means it's now 10 minutes after midnight. So I really should be going to sleep. And I think I'm going to go ahead and do that and close this thing down. Anyway, I do want to mention how grateful I am for people, for nice people. There's plenty of people who are mean and who take advantage of people's weaknesses or of people's strangeness and like to just pick on them. And I'm grateful for people who don't choose to do that, who just are kind and nice. I want them to know how grateful I am for their kindness. And I hope I reciprocate in at least doing favors for them. Just in gratitude, you know. Need your computer work done? I'll help you with your computer. Because, you know, I'm grateful. And that's all I really have to do. So there it is, another gratitude one. I think I already have a gratitude one, but I'm still really grateful. So, Tom, keep a... I know I haven't joined the list yet. I really rarely have time to get involved in some of those lists because they tend to eat up lots of time, and it's really not time I have, I'm sorry to say. But feel free to write letters and let me know. If anybody wants to do feedback to the podcast, the email address is autism@quix.us. If you need to know how to spell autism, look it up. And this is episode number 591. This is Jay Nemro. The Life Autistic. Have a great day.